tonight. To someone who's fighting a battle, they need the Lord to win today. But he's fighting for us, and the enemy's running away from us. So come on, church, I want you to declare this right now. Say, God is fighting for us.
Is always good.
That's right, he is.
What I've the mountain I see, in the valley that God is always good.
Come on, somebody clap your hands and praise before the Lord for that today.
Judgment are in your life. Aren't you glad that you serve a God for whom nothing is too hard? Amen. Would you turn and shake hands with two people? Just say, I'm so glad to see you. If you would, you can be seated. Just let somebody know you're glad to see him today. We don't take it for granted that you're here. Praise God. Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us. While the people are greeting each other here, we welcome everybody that's watching online. We're so grateful that you would choose to take time to be with us this way. Share this, if you would, with all of your digital connections. And I know that somebody's going to hear something that they need to hear today. Let's welcome all of our digital congregation today. Let them know we're glad that they've joined us. Of course, if you're visiting today, we want to ask you to do us a big favor, because we want to be able to connect and help you. I think everybody needs a good church, and we want to be your church, to be quite honest with you. You ever heard that commercial? The guy said, I want to sell you a tractor. Yeah, we want to be your church. If he can be that frontward, then we can be that way as well. If you're here for the first time, you'll see a connection card right in front of you in that seat rack. Would you take that out, fill it out, and the offering's taken up in just a few moments. Would you please put that in there? And we're not going to hound you. We're not going to show up at your house with a break of loaf of bread. We're just going to let you know that we're glad you're here. We've got a gift for you. How many of you are here and it's not your first time? Just raise your hand. How many of you here? Wow. That's incredible. You all have come back. You know, I should do that every week. It just encourages me. Wow, they came back. Well, if you're here for more than your first time, but you're not connected to the church, you're not connected as a member, you're not connected as serving, you're not connected in any of the groups of the church, this card is for you. So if you look in that rack in front of you and fill that card out, put your name, cell number, and email address. You'll see it there on the screen. That will help us to connect you. Sometimes people can come to church for a number of weeks and even months, but because they're not new, they don't get connected into that next step of what the church can do for them and how they can be involved in the life of the church. So thank you so much for doing that. My wife is not here today. If you're wondering why my wife was wearing that orange shirt down front, so that hairdo is not good for her. That is not my wife. That is Pastor Butcher down here. If you had not heard, Friday night, Macy was driving her Jeep, and my wife was with her, and they're on their way home, less than a mile away from our house. How many of you saw that snowstorm that just came in, like, unannounced all at once? And they got fishtailing and got into the ditch, and it was a very deep ditch, and her Jeep flipped over there. And what's interesting is they had seatbelts on, and I'm so grateful for that. Wear your seatbelt on your way home today. And they were just stuck. They couldn't get out the ditch. They were slammed right down there. Couldn't get out. And Brandon Daigle never goes home that way, but happened to be going up Beans Mill Road, and he saw a vehicle. So he got out, walked down. He could hear these lady voices. He said, "Hey, unlock the door. I'll let you out." So he opened up the back of the Jeep, and they crawled out. And so obviously, thank God, not a scratch, not a scratch. And so I'm so grateful for that. Very grateful, actually. So pray for them. God, they're really sore. You know, they are sore. So the Lord help them and heal their bodies and touch my insurance policy. Because how many know it's getting some pressure right about now? I mean, as soon as I can sign them on, somebody wrecks one that's related to me. So thank you for doing that, okay? Look, tonight's a great night. I want the ushers to come. Tonight's a great night. It's the volunteer celebration. This is our night that we get to honor all of those people who serve in this church week in and week out. There's going to be a great meal. We want to feed you. There will be, everybody's dressing up in the 80s. Some of you are going to need to get something. Some of you just come the way you are this morning. but tonight at 5 o'clock in the Epic Center is going to be a meal, giveaways, prizes for the costume. But we're going to, even more than that, honor the people that are serving among us. And then Pastor Pat Butcher will be encouraging us tonight. You're going to really love hearing him today. You'll want to be back for that tonight. This is a volunteer-only event, so we want all of the volunteers to come, whether you got a paper invitation or not. Let us honor you. We're going to have a great time. Vinny has got together a great program. It's going to be phenomenal. Tuesday, the senior adult meal is gathering. They're gathering for the first time this year. So they're gathering at 11, and it's going to be a great time. Willie and Bunny Furge will be happy to see you. Soulfire is going to the youth convention coming up in this month. I don't have it written in front of me. I thought my memory was better. What is the date? 19th through the 21st is the Soulfire group going to the youth convention, and then Ignite is having a family night. On what date is that?
The 20th.
The 20th, okay. So it's going to be great, and I don't know when it is or much about it, but I was relying on the screens, but next time I'll rely on my memory. Or I'll just write it down next time. How about I do that instead? So a lot of great events. Sign up at thecchurch.info, sign, and that will be a help to you. How many of you have been hearing this talk about the cloud? Four of you. This is going to be a very effective offering talk. Ready? How many of you see this, the Watson guy on commercials? Have you seen the Watson guy? The cloud. Okay, so I'm going to educate you. So you've got a computer, and it has an internet connection. And your internet connection often will send information to the cloud. That means there's something out there somewhere that's gathering all of your information. And when you need to access it, all you got to do is get online to access it. You know, I was reading in the Bible this morning, Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 3, that God says, when the cloud is full, it will rain. When the cloud is full, it will rain. In other words, what God is saying is whatever you do for Him and for His honor and for His glory, God is collecting all of those acts of obedience and putting them in a cloud. And when the cloud is full, when due season comes, God says, and the cloud will put back out what it had received at one time. How many glad you can sow love and God promised you'll reap love. You can sow joy and God says you'll reap joy. Galatians says that at a due season, So I'd encourage you, be grateful, be generous, be faithful, be consistent as the church has been. And I promise you today, the word of God is true. Doesn't matter who lies about it. God is always true. And if He says in due season, when the cloud is full, it will rain, you better get ready. Rain is coming into your future. We're experiencing it now. We're experiencing it as a church. And you heard about all the things that we're going to do in Haiti last week. God is already responding. It's our season. And we're not waiting for anything else to happen. How many know it is God's will that we get busy for Him right now? right now. So God bless you as you give today. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your blessings upon this church. I thank you, God, not one thing done in your name and for your credit and in obedience to you goes unnoticed. You're gathering it. You're remembering it. It goes in the book of remembrance. And God, we give with joy because we know that we give sowing ready to reap a harvest. We give you thanks. Blessings on everybody and everything today in your name. Everyone said amen and amen. God bless you as you give today.
Originally, I was brought up in this church. My generations go back, my grandparents, my parents and whatnot, and they brought me to church. And I can still remember how the Spirit used to move in church as a little guy watching it all. But when I was 23, I left the church, and I ended up being away from church for 25 years. It came to the point in life where at work that I was depressed and a lot of anxiety, very angry. The world was out to get me. Didn't trust anybody. And then I ended up going out on sick leave because of it. And through some counseling and whatnot, they diagnosed me as severe PTSD because of work. And I was in such a bad place and so broken that I just couldn't deal with work anymore, and I left. When I left, I think it was within the first week that I left, my wife asked me if I would like to ride along and help get food at Safe Place Food Pantry. So I said I would, and I started riding with the man who was picking up food at the time, and I know that that was an influence on me, and I knew God was working on me too. About 4 months later, I was trying to get medical disability retirement because of the shape I was in, and I got a letter from a lawyer said that I had a good case, but probably not enough to win it. And the first thing that happened, I remember being in the garage, and it sounded like an audible voice over my left side said, "Well, just go get a six-pack and get drunk." And that's when it hit me that I just can't do this anymore. And I went in the house and laid down on this couch that we had, and I just told the Lord that, you know, I can't do it anymore, that, you know, I need, you know, and ask forgiveness. But I told him the biggest thing was that he needed to take everything from me. One thing was that I was hooked on marijuana. I'd smoked marijuana for almost every single day for the 25 years that I was gone from the Lord. And another thing was being hooked on pornography. When I was 10 years old, it was the first time I ever saw a magazine. A neighbor kid showed me, and from that time till I gave my heart back to the Lord, it was a strong, strong addiction. And I know that there's many people, and I'm sure there's some in this church that deal with that right now, but the Lord took it from me. Even like up to 3 weeks ago, I didn't know at the time that it would be. I'd be sitting here talking about it, but a house that I was cleaning up and fixing up, I was cleaning some things out of the garage, and up on a high shelf, I see something, I moved it and got it down. It was a Playboy magazine, and I just rolled it up in a roll, and I stuffed it in the garbage, and I never even had a temptation to look at it, crack it open. And that's something that the Lord, to me, was a very big miracle, to overcome that and to overcome drugs. He set me free. And I've been clean and sober since February 28th, 5 years ago. The Lord is definitely a miracle-working God. I remember Pastor Libby talking and others talking about having a relationship with Jesus. and today I do. Reading the Word and praying. It's just so different. There's such a peace in my heart and a joy. You know, I live by the joy of the Lord is my strength. In Psalms 150, verse 6, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. You know, he's just such a good God.
What a powerful testimony. Amen.
A river of gladness flows from Emmanuel's veins. Sinner was plunged beneath the flood, and God saved. Now, since then, I walk in forgiveness. All of my guilt's been erased. The chains of the past, oh, they're broken at last. I got saved. Oh, I got saved. I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus. I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. He's restored and made right. Got a hold of my life. I've got Jesus. How could I want? Nothing but goodness. I've tasted and tested your grace. And I was so lost till I fell at the cross and God saved. Oh, I got saved. I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus. I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. I'm undone by the goodness of our Lord. He's restored and made right. He got a hold on my life. I've got Jesus. How could I want more? I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus. I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. He's restored and made right. He got a hold.
I want to ask you real soberly. I want to know, and don't raise your hand because you care what anybody thinks. How many of you today, if something were to happen to you, and I'm not predicting it will, but if you were to, life were to end for you today or this week, how many of you know for sure that you'd go to heaven? Just raise your hand up high. You know for sure. How many are glad that that's not something you have to wonder about? And if you had to question that, and if you had to wonder in your mind, I'm not sure if I can raise my hand. I've got good news. Before the service is over, you'll be able to join that group. You'll be able to say, I know that heaven is in my future, and I know that God is on my side. It's a simple prayer. It's just simply asking Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins, to believe that he died on the cross and rose from the grave for you, for mankind, and to confess him publicly, to say, I'm not ashamed. Jesus died for me publicly. I want to accept him publicly. How many of you are glad that you made that decision one day and you'll never turn your back on it? You never want to ever go back on that. Isn't that phenomenal? So thank God for that. Thank you, Dennis, for letting us share your testimony. We shared that on a first Wednesday a couple nights ago. Wasn't that powerful? The real deal. In case you're visiting or if you saw it online, this is not a paid actor. I want Dennis to stand. Dennis, and come on, stand. Turn around, see these people. God is real. Jesus is alive. And he's not against people. He's for people, and he's trying to do everything he can to get into your life. And so thank you, Dennis, for letting us share that. We've got a whole list of those great testimonies. You're sitting around miracles that you may not be aware of. And maybe you're in a position of a need for a miracle or God to do something in your life. The same grace that came to Dennis, that came to all of us, is the same grace that's available for all of us today. So thank God for that. I'm so pleased today that Pastor Pat Butcher is joining us. And I want to tell you a little bit of why his being here is significant. And I think it'll get your attention. So you'll want to stay tuned and stay with me here. A number of years, Donnie Keppel was watching television. And there was this program, I think it was RFD, was it like the rural, some kind of a rural, you're doing good, Heather, continue to play. And he saw this story about a pastor in Kentucky who had a map and took a coffee cup and was drawing circles in different areas of the state. And those are areas that he believed God wanted them to start churches in. Immediately, and I don't think, Donnie, you'd been back with the Lord very long. It was months. And he, to tell you how long ago it was, he taped it on a VHS. And he brought me that VHS, and I had to go buy a VCR to play it on. And I played that, and I was stirred. My heart was stirred. And this pastor just spoke about how God was doing great things in small town America, in rural places that nobody else was going to. A few months later, I was invited to go to a network of pastors, a meeting in Texas. And I had watched this video over and over again, and I looked across the meeting room, and I'm telling you, in Victoria, Texas, I saw Pat Butcher sitting 20 feet away from me. I'm like, that's the guy on the video that Donnie Keppel saw. And I immediately walked over, and I had to curtail my main accent for him to understand what I was saying. And we began a relationship. How many know it's only God could connect a pastor from Maine to meet a pastor from Kentucky in Victoria, Texas? That's not something that just happens. We understand that God orders the steps of his people today. And so our time together over the past several times have been talking about God doing something significant in small town America. And God has used Pastor Pat Butcher and his wife Brooke in Carrollton, Kentucky for, is it nearly 30 or over 30 years now? 32 years. They planted the church, Family Worship Center in Carrollton, Kentucky, and has had influence over some of the great growing churches in that part of the United States of America. And he was telling me this morning some of the great, it's an awakening that's happening, not only in cities of America, but there's an awakening taking place in rural parts of America. Now, I don't know where you live, but if you're from Atkinson, I need to tell you, this is a small town. We are surrounded by small towns, but they're filled with souls that matter as much to God from a small town as if you come from a big town. Whether you're from Boston or Bradford, a soul has the same value to God. And so there's a connection here, and I can't wait as we continue to work on that. We begin to talk, he'll be with us a couple days, and I know that you're gonna fall in love. You're gonna have to listen because his accent's different than yours. And he's already heard all about it, so he gets it. Would you give a warm Charleston Church welcome to our friend, Pastor Pat Butcher.
Thank you. Amen. Yeah, I've had a little trouble getting a translation. Right off the bat, I found out that Bangor is not Banger. I called it Banger twice. I almost had to leave my hotel. But thank God for that lady at the front desk. She knew that I needed help, so she worked with me. But amen. Yeah, I'm from Kentucky, and that's the only state I've ever lived in my entire life, except 2 years of Bible school. But my wife says and sends to you her love, and she's very thankful that we have a relationship with Pastor Matt and Darcy, and we're just very thrilled to be a part. And I'm just taken back by this. I've been around the country a long time, and what God's done. I mean, I looked up here, and I got a fiddle player on this end and a flute on this end and everything in between. That's some of the best worship I've sat in 30 years of my life. I've been around. I've been in little churches, big churches, mega churches. I got friends that pastor 4,000, 5,000, 6,000, 8,000 people. I got friends that pastor 50, 35. I'm telling you, this worship team here, I'm not trying to lift you guys. Matter of fact, on the way up here, God said to make sure you tell the people of Charleston Church that I'm very proud of you. He said, you tell the people that I'm very thankful for them. And you tell the people that the days of being overlooked is over for this church. So God's getting ready to expose you guys. Now, I know expose is not a good word, but I'm telling you, it's a good word in this capacity. I may say amen. And I'm telling you what God has done here. You know, we get familiar sometimes with even the good things of life. We get familiar sometimes with things that go real well, and we take them for granted. Sometimes our mates, sometimes, you know, our children, sometimes our job, sometimes our pastor, sometimes our church. But I'm telling you, this in Christendom is abnormal. The town's 1,000 people. There's 850 to 1,000. You show up, that's abnormal. But in God's eyes, he wants that kind of influence and saturation everywhere. And God says, I want this to be normal. So, just to tell you how much I appreciated you guys, I got out my orange shirt, which only been wore last week at Easter. Saved it all year to come north to Maine. And I'm so thankful to be in Maine, because it's obvious here in Maine, the main thing is the main thing in Maine. His name is Jesus. Amen. So I'm telling you, here's how it's going to go today. We're going to go on a little hunting trip, and we're going to go for big game. You know, I hope to, is it legal to kill a moose up here, or do I go to jail? Well, anyway, we're going to shoot for big game, but along the way, we might get a rabbit, a squirrel, might even take a possum. We won't eat the possum, but we're going to get a lot of stuff done in a short period of time. So I want to pray for you that you'll understand the translation. I could have brought my brother, but he talks slower than I do. You never would have understood what he said. But I want to pray over you so we get done what God wants to do. Amen? So y'all just reach your hands toward me that I do what God wants to do. Father God, I thank you today for the opportunity to stand before your people. Your people doing what you've called them to do in this wonderful place, in this wonderful town, this area, these counties represented. And Father, I thank you today that you'll use an imperfect vessel to speak a perfect word to everyone here in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. The word I want to focus on today is simply one word, and the word is overlooked. Everybody say overlooked. I want to talk about the power of being overlooked and what God says about being overlooked. And I want to talk about you and I being illuminated and loosed from other places we've been overlooked. I want to talk about that God wants to you and I to understand there's a place for everybody in his family. There's a place and a position for every one of you to do what you're called to do. You might not be called to the praise and worship team, but you're called as a member of the body of Christ to do everything God has in store. I want to talk to you about three definitions of the word overlook. Number one definition of the word overlook is failure to notice something or someone. Failure to notice something or someone. How many here has ever, besides Pastor Pat, but at this weight it's hard to be overlooked, but how many here has ever been overlooked in some capacity of your life? Number one definition is to not to notice something. Failure to notice something or someone. Fail to notice, fail to spot, just flat out miss. Number two definition is to have a view from above. Overlook. I want you to know today that God from heaven is watching over me and you today and looking upon our lives and our hearts, and he has a tremendous plan for your life. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things God has planned for you on this earth. I mean, say amen. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm already feeling better. Amen. Number three definition means to ignore, disregard, or turned a blind eye to. To ignore, disregard, and turn a blind eye to. The Bible is full of overlooked, ignored, and disregarded, failed to be noticed people. And God put you on this earth with an anointing and an assignment in mind. I want to talk today just about a few people in the Bible. I want to zero in on one. Joseph was overlooked, disrespected by his own brothers and even his mom and dad with the vision God had put in his hand and in his heart, not only to bless his family, but to pursue so the Hebrew people would live and not die. But by Joseph's faith, I want to tell you something. Hold your faith fast, because God's going to see you through to the end. From a pit to a prison to a palace, there's seasons in life. Don't get hung up in a bad season that's going to stay there. Turn your neighbor and say, sons, come. I'm telling you, y'all got piles of snow up here, and it's done melted 8 feet. I've never seen so much snow in my life. I'm telling you, y'all put in the right place. I would be in depression if I had to live this much snow. But anyway, Joseph stayed the course, and he saved his people. Listen, guys, it's bigger than us. It's about our family behind us. It's about our family ahead of us. It's about our neighbors and friends. I got lost coming up here this morning. Pastor Pat is logistically challenged. It's nothing that your pastor did well, had all the directions. I just went the wrong way. I stopped at Burger King, and I asked a lady, is everybody in Maine love the Patriots? And after she got through with me telling me she loved the Giants, not the Patriots, I was so confused. And I got on 79 North, and I turned off on Old Hudson Road. It's a nice little road, very crooked, a long way. But anyway, I started to stop at Hudson Baptist Church and say, I'm your guest speaker today, but you know, I don't know if they were looking for me. Number two, Jethro. Joseph stayed the course. Jethro, who's Jethro? Moses' father-in-law. Exodus 18. Moses was overwhelmed by doing too much and not delegating. His father-in-law said, hey, it's not wise what you're doing. And matter of fact, my daughter's not happy with you, so we're going to make some changes. I want you to find men who are gifted and appointed with grace and wisdom that can oversee tens, 50s, hundreds, and thousands. Moses did it, and he didn't burn out. I want to tell you today, if you feel overlooked or have been overlooked, I'm going to encourage you today. Today is the day you're illuminated, you're coming out. Then I had to think about the thief on the cross. He don't get a lot of airtime, but I'm telling you, he had a big role. How many say amen? The other one on the other side of the cross, he's mocking, making fun of Jesus. And he said, hey, shut up. We deserve to be here. He doesn't deserve to be here. He's the King of Kings. And Jesus said, you're going with me today. How many like to hear that Jesus said, now you're going to go with me today? Well, I'm going to tell you something. The day of overlooked for this place and this church, not that you necessarily have been to some degree, but I'm telling you, this is the best kept secret in Christendom. I'm driving in the middle of here and more trees and running water. And it reminded me of a movie called Deliverance. They started playing a banjo. I'm turning around. I said, this is getting deeper and deeper and deeper. You young people don't know what Deliverance is. Don't look it up. It's not a good movie. But anyway, the thief on the cross, he didn't know much. But here's what I know about him. He was a criminal. We've all were born into sin. He was crucified next to Jesus. That cross belonged to me. And he was brought into paradise because he believed on Jesus that day. You can get saved that day. There are people waiting to get saved that day. And we have to understand that we have to step out of being overlooked in our personal lives, in our church lives, in our working lives, so we can help people on that day. Except Jesus says, you're going with me today. I think of Mordecai, used of God to stand up against kings in a foreign court, used as a foreigner to save God's people. And he was also used as a guide and a mentor and a cousin to Esther, so Esther could become the queen, and Esther and Mordecai could change the heart of the king to save the people. God is going to use you to change people's hearts to save the people. He already has done. I mean, this, I feel like I'm in heaven up here today. The worship. I mean, there was, most worship teams, I'm going to take a side journey here just a minute. Can you give me 1 minute? Just 1 minute. Most worship teams, you got to weed through the egos before you can get to the anointing. I mean, this bunch of kids up here, they're just happy to be. They just love Jesus. If y'all didn't show up, they'd still be singing. How many say amen? I'm just bragging on the house. I'm bragging on you guys. Turn your neighbor and say, you're in a good spot. Everybody do that. So you're here on assignment. If you see me keep pulling my pants up, it's my dad's fault. He's been in heaven 10 years in April. It's my fault that I've got a waist bigger than my shoulders. But anyway, But my dad didn't have any hip bones. He went straight down. So there's no belt alive will hold my pants up anymore. And I just will not wear suspenders. I did not bring them to Maine. But anyway. We're here on assignment. How many believes that? I'm telling you, the Bible says when we leave this earth, we cease from our labors. And Revelation 14:13 is that we cease from our labors, but our works follow us. Are we leaving a big enough track that people can follow us? Is there an imprint in the snow people can track us? I'm telling you, as far as I'm concerned, Charleston Church is trackable. It is trackable with the leverage of the tracks of what changed lives are. That guy right there, I just need to haul him around everywhere all over the country and says, hey, listen to my friend what Jesus has done. How many say amen? We've all got a testimony, but you got to go through some tests to get a testimony. And then you got to have the faith to get up and testify about how stupid we all have been. And you say, thank God. Everybody say, thank God. I'm not wearing your shirt. Amen. See, if I stop too long, somebody won't get a bucket of chicken, lay on my back and have a picnic. So I'm not going to stop long. Amen. You're here on appointment. You're here on assignment. God desires that you and I use our faith to fulfill the destiny that he has. 2018 is a year of advancement and alignment. You guys are advancing. There's more to do. There's people to reach, and there's adjustments. 2018 is a time to move from being overlooked to stepping into all God has for you individually and for this church. 2018 is a time to let it go. I don't know what's been holding you back. I don't know what's crusted over you. I don't know what's been pulled over your eyes, but it's time to let it go. Maybe a failed business, maybe a failed marriage, maybe a bad report from the doctor, maybe disappointments. I'm telling you, how many's ever thought this? I thought I'd be further along now than I am. How many's ever thought that besides Pastor Pat? Let it go. Your rear view mirror is about the size of your hand. Your windshield is 150 times bigger than your rear view mirror. Stop looking back and start looking ahead for opportunities of what God has, and stop playing the game of nobody knows who I am, nobody cares who I am. Stop comparing yourself to others. Paul said it's not wise we compare ourselves to others. I mean, on one hand, it's either we go toward pity and go, dear God, I'm glad I'm not like that person. On the other hand, we're full of pity and we don't think nobody cares or loves us. Both are sin. I want you just to take your hands and hug yourself right now. Grab yourself and hug yourself. Said, I like me. I might be the only one, me and Jesus, but I like me. Amen. I want you to fall in love with who Jesus has made you. 2018, God cannot restore what you're still grieving. Let me say it again. God cannot restore to what you're still grieving. We need to let loose of what God wants to move behind us and move ahead. Look ahead. 2018, God will restore it if we let it go. Let me say this to you today. You are dripping, dripping, dripping with destiny. There's more destiny in you than you realize. There's a lot more stuff on the inside of you today. That's why we're going to move from being overlooked to be illuminated in what all God has. You're supposed to be here. Turn to your neighbor right now and say, I'm supposed to be here. Because there's people who tell you you're not. I don't see how you got that job. I sure don't. My wife's gorgeous. I wish I had a picture. She's just flat out good looking. And you can look at me. If you don't believe in miracles, you see my wife. He's seen her. You see my wife with me. I mean, it's like God had to literally speak to her to marry me. But anyway, thank God. Thank God he literally spoke to her. Yeah, marry him. But bless his heart, you know. I didn't get married until I was 37. So my kids are my grandkids chronologically. But anyway. So, just the way it happened. Had no takers where I was from. Anyway, and we're 5 generations, 10 generations deep. Anyway, just familiar, overlooked. I was overlooked. I went to pick up a girl to go to the prom one night, and her mother stood there with her arms across, says, no way I let my daughter go with you. And I said, okay, how about one of her sisters? She said, get out of here. All right. So I went to the next county over, no lie. Took a cheerleader, prettiest girl in the whole squad. I'm sorry, Lord, I'm drifting back. Anyway, I'm looking out the windshield. God is working and looking over you from above. God needs you. Listen, there's no backup kingdom of God. You're it. There's no backup kingdom of God. There's no second team. You're it. I'm it. God's going to do it with us. And now I just want to just kind of tie in down on David. David in the Bible, he amazes me. David was such a man that got so much accomplished, but yet he was real. He made a lot of mistakes. You know, he's just a shepherd boy. He got overlooked so many times in so many ways. You know, David had no rank. He had no wealth. He had no reason to be considered king, except God saw something in David's heart that his own daddy didn't see. I want to speak just a minute here today that people's been overlooked by your family. Don't take it personal, because Jesus couldn't do any major thing in Nazareth because of his family. They didn't quite believe in the beginning. And neighbors and friends didn't believe in the beginning. Oh, that's the kid that repairs wagon wheels and makes tabletops. They didn't quite get it, but I just want to encourage you never to give up. And if you've ever felt overlooked by man and overlooked by all kinds of things, ever felt unappreciated, how many's ever felt unappreciated? How many's ever felt unequipped? How many's ever thought God called the wrong person? But I'm telling you, God doesn't make mistakes, because the Bible says God looks at the heart and man looks at the outside. Psalms 53 verse 2, if you've got your Bibles, a couple scriptures I thought we'd look at today this morning. Psalms 53 verse 2 says this, if you want to look at it in your Bible. It says, God looks down from heaven on all of mankind to see if there are any who understand and any who seek God. God looks down from heaven, that's overlook, on mankind to see if there's any who understand, any who seek God. So we have someone overlooking from heaven to help us understand that God loves us and has a place for us. Go to Psalms 33 with me this morning. Psalms 33 verse 13. And it says this, excuse me, verse 13 verse through verse 16. Again, it says, God looks down from heaven and he sees all the sons and daughters of man. And from his dwelling place, he looks closely upon all the inhabitants of the earth. This is God now overlooking you. Aren't you glad we're seated in heavenly places with him now? Aren't you glad we have authority and power in the name of Jesus now? Aren't you glad that you and I are loaded now to combat any plan or power that's been destroyed of the enemy right now? Aren't you glad you're an ambassador for Christ right now? Aren't you glad from heaven's point of view, you're God's first team? See, some of us have never got a hold of that we're starters. Some of us never got chosen to play. Some of us got left behind. But I want to tell you, all that time you were overlooked, God was looking over you and he was preparing a place of destiny for your life. And I'm telling you, you might have started in the pasture, but God's got places for you to end. I'm fifth generation farmer. That's all we've known. My whole life is about farming, about faith. It's about football. That's how I look at everything. I look at things. Matter of fact, we'll do this real quickly to help you understand how everything breaks down in a sports analogy. If you're 0 to 20 years old, stand up real quick. If you're 0 to 20, that means if you're crying or you're to 20 years old, stand up real quick. I won't embarrass you. Stand up real quick. 0 to 20. Everybody look around at these people. 0 to 20. Okay, you're in the first quarter. Everybody say first quarter. You're learning what life's about. Don't put your hand on the stove. How many say amen? You're learning about what to do and how to do. You're learning you got to go to school. You've got to get things ready. You've got to complete some things. You're learning things real quickly. You're in the first quarter. The game's got three more quarters to go. Pay attention to older people, because they'll help you play your game out well. You're in the first quarter. You're going to make some mistakes, make some fumbles, but also you're going to discover yourself. You're going to start finding out why your personality is this way, why you're built a certain way. Start loving yourself. Listen, don't compare yourself. Stop watching TV and compare yourself to other people. Why do we wait for Hollywood or New York to tell us how to cut our hair? I've been growing out my hair since Thanksgiving. Somebody made fun of me. I said, I'm going to revolt and molt right here. I'm not going to cut my hair till Christmas. Let's keep making fun of me. I said it's going to be Easter. I don't know what it's going to look like Thanksgiving this year. But anyway, find out who Christ is in your life. Start petitioning him for your next three quarters. And then soon you're going to step out of first quarter and you're going to have to be responsible for much of your life. Mom and dad's going to move you on. I mean, that's the way it happens. My mom didn't move me on. I never left the house till I was 37, so I'm really codependent and messed up. But anyway, my wife's had to catch up on some things. She told some people she married her thorn. I mean, the cross she carries. But anyway, everybody look around at the first quarter. Everybody say this with me. Reach your hands to them and say, thank you, Father. They'll complete their game. They're going to do well. They're going to follow you. We're going to help them. We're going to love them. We're going to touch them. We're going to equip them. And we're going to send them in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You can sit down. First quarter. Second quarter. If you're from 20 to 40, stand up. 20 to 40. Now look how the numbers increase. 20 to 40. Look around. Point at people. Now, what are you laughing about? You're driving a minivan. You're taking kids every which way. You don't even know your name. Hallelujah. You're making payments on the toasters. You're making payments on everything. Praise God. But praise God, you just run. You get about 6 hours sleep a night. There's passies in the floor and McDonald's fries scattered in the cup holder. And praise God. But you're going to college. You're finishing college. You're stepping into the work field. You're starting to raise children. How many here has more than two children? How many knows when the first child, you buy that little thing to listen to them? See if they're breathing at night. About the third kid, you said, go up there and see if your brother's still breathing. Amen. You don't even listen to that thing no more. Is your brother count kids in the bed? So you do that. You're settling in. You're usually married by now. You've usually chosen a position, or maybe you've got into another position. You're claiming your mountain right now. You're setting a foundation in what your kids are going to walk upon right now. And I want to applaud you and thank you for being faithful to God and being faithful to the local church and setting an example for your children and those in the first quarter. You're incurring debt. Work on your debt. Try to get that down. How many knows we can live debt-free if we work at it? Amen. And you're working real hard, but very soon it's going to be halftime. Halftime. You have to adjust your game. You have to adjust what the defense has been doing against you. You have to adjust your offense to put more points on the board. You have to learn how to conserve energy because you got two more quarters. We thank you. We love you. Reach your hands toward them. Father God, we thank you for everybody in the second quarter of life. We thank you, Lord. They're fumbling less. We thank you, Lord. They're passing the ball better. We thank you, Lord. They're hitting their blocks. We thank you, Lord. They're making their tackles. We thank you, Lord. They're standing their place and position in the kingdom of heaven. We thank you, Lord, that they're going to go into halftime and be refreshed and encouraged and restirred to finish the game with much strength. And we pray blessing over them, longevity over them, productivity over them. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. Thank you. You can sit down. I appreciate that. All right. Have halftime. Adjustments are made. And then now we go on the third quarter. 40 to 60. Stand up. I used to be able to stand there, but I can't anymore. Give them a hand clap. 40 to 60. Kids are out of the house. Kids are getting out of the house. Some of us at the back end of 60 are starting to slow down and retire. Some of us are still working. Kids are developing their own families. We're trying to figure out, do I have enough money to live any longer in the bank? How many say amen? We're learning how to deal with joints that won't join, arms that won't arm. We're learning how to pray and believe in faith. We're learning how to adjust our diets. Hallelujah. It's third quarter. We're learning also some of the mistakes we made in the first and second quarter can be redeemed in the third quarter. We're learning there's recompense. We learn there's restoration. We're learning there's healing in the third quarter. We're learning we might not be conducting as many plays as we did before in the first two quarters, but these plays, we don't make the mistakes we made earlier. And every time we throw the ball is an opportunity to score. And every time we touch the ball is an opportunity to get a first down. And every time we play defense against the devil, against the lives of the devil, we make a sure tackle with our head up and we drive him into the ground defeated by the power of Christ. And in the third quarter, we're anticipating and not talking about, oh, I'm just going to get old, wind up one of them old rest homes. We don't talk wrong. We say we're going to finish strong and long. We're going to go out in glory. We're going to do everything. We're going to finish with fire. We're not going to burn out. We're going to finish with fire for God. And we're going to enjoy the rest of our life and start now enjoying grandkids. How many say amen? Father, I thank you for third quarter. I thank you for what you've called them to do. Now they're passing it down. Legacy's being pushed backward now. Toward first and second quarter people of wisdom of heaven, of experiences of God, of grace of God, because they're not going to be overlooked at this point. They're not going to a rocking chair. They're going to sit in a chair of respect and history and legacy. And Father, we just thank you. That's just the beginning of this, figuring out, sorting out, and moving on with you so we can finish strong. Everybody give them a hand clap. Amen. Fourth quarter, 60 to 80. Retirement's usually in this. Now we have grandkids, great grandkids. We have things to pass down. You have people to speak to. Now everybody that's not in the fourth quarter, I want you to look around and find fourth quarter here. Find somebody locked down with. The Bible says the elders teach the younger. Find somebody to hook up with. Amen? Find somebody to glean from, to learn from. How were you married 50 years? How did you recover from a terrible divorce? How in the world did you bury someone in your family, maybe even a child? How'd you live through that? How did God take you from there to this fourth quarter situation?
How come you're still smiling serving God? How come you're old and everybody talks about being tight and you're tithing and giving? Tell me how you made it to the fourth quarter. Tell me how you got here. Tell me how you lived the life and God never forsake you and you never forsook him and here you are. Tell me a story like our brother right there that no matter what comes in our life, God is bigger. And we're going to respect you. First, second, third quarter people, we need to really respect fourth quarter people. Because they've lived it, they've done it, and they're coming out the other side, and they're getting ready to finish their game and go on to glory to rewards God has. How many say amen? Father, we thank you for fourth quarter people. We thank you for the wisdom and the grace and the experience and the knowledge and the anointing. We thank you, Lord, that what they've done is dripping down to us, that destinies are dripping down to us to help us do better what we're doing. And Father, we'll honor them. We'll bless them with prayers, with finances, with attention and time. Sometimes fourth quarter people have no one to give them time. We're going to give them time of respect and honor. So they will have time to download everything into us that we need to finish this game in grace. And everybody said amen. You can be seated. Praise God. Amen. All right. You say, well, you're done. I'm about to wind up here. You're done. Nope. Anybody 80 and above, stand up. 80 and above. Let's give them a hand clap. 80 and above. Let's celebrate what God has done in their life. Celebrate their tenacity. Celebrate their faithfulness. Celebrate their consistency. Celebrate their heart. And some of them are doing it alone now. Some of them mates have gone on to heaven. Some of them are alone. Some of them still have mates. Let me tell you about 80 and above now. You 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You listen to me real good. It's 80 and above. It's overtime. And we call overtime sudden death. Just throw the ball anytime you get your hands on it. Just throw the ball. They'll catch it. They'll run under and catch it. Do what you want to do. Eat what you want to eat. Be what you want to be in Christ. And just love people. And you guys need to take care of those people. Amen? Praise God. Thank you, Lord. All right, I want to end now, whether you believe it or not. And we don't have time to go through all the scriptures, but I just want to say four times in two chapters that David got overlooked. Jesse, his daddy, had eight sons. Prophet of God was sent there to anoint the new king of Israel. And Jesse, his daddy, lined up his seven brothers and sisters and didn't even bring him in. Sometimes we don't get the call to come in. We're overlooked, disrespected, ignored. And the first overlooked was from his very own father, didn't get the call. And the prophet of God said, do you have anybody else? Well, I got a redheaded, freckle-faced, runny-nosed kid, takes care of sheep and writes songs to God. I didn't think he qualified. Bring him in. And the oil poured out over him. Little translation said the prophet of God tried to dump the oil on the other seven. It wouldn't come out. I'm telling you, when God anoints you and appoints you to be somewhere, the oil's going to flow. You're flowing. You're growing. You're flowing. The grace is on you. Number two, real quickly, the second overlook was his elder brother, Eliab. We had a little problem. The army went down. Goliath came against the army, cursing God, cursing the people. David was sent down by his daddy to take some cheese. Maybe you've been the cheese boy or girl. And he went down there with a load of cheese, and his brother said, what are you doing down here? You're prideful, you're haughty, what do you want to look about? And David said, why you listen to this uncircumcised Philistine make fun of our God and make fun of our people? So he was disrespected, number two, by his older brother. He had two other brothers there that were trained to fight, but they didn't have a heart to fight. Church of Charleston, Charleston Church, you have a heart to fight for the souls of man. You have a heart to go places people don't want to go and do things people don't want to do. And that's why God can trust you. Number three, overlook. Saul looked at him and said, you're just a kid. You can't fight this guy. He's trained to fight. And then Saul disrespected him. Sometimes people in charge disrespect people that need to be in charge of something. And I want to encourage you. This is your day to be prayed, to be released, to be loosed from being overlooked in any capacity. Then Saul tried to put his armor on him. Don't let somebody else put their stuff on you to try to get you to do what you're supposed to do. Stop letting somebody else's marriage, somebody else's experience, somebody else's disappointment or victory. You find your own clothing in God. You find your own grace in God. You find your own experiences in God. And let the other people bless you with that. And the last overlook was simply this. Goliath looked at him and said this, "Why do you send me a kid with sticks?" Well, first of all, if Goliath had any sense, he'd realize that that stick was a staff, and David's getting ready to ram it places in Goliath he didn't want. How many say amen? And number two, he didn't know he had 5 stones in a bag. I'm telling you, there's stones of purpose and grace on the inside of you. You don't even know you got yet. There's more than enough to kill one. And I believe one reason David had 5, because Goliath did have 4 more brothers. I believe he's going giant hunting if they hadn't stopped him. And he said, "What's in it for me? Whoever kills Goliath, his daddy's household gets freed from taxes and debt, and you get the daughter of Saul." So we know the story. David overcame Goliath. I want to encourage you this morning that you can make an impact for God, finding your vocation in the 7. How many's ever heard the 7 mountains of culture? The 7 mountains of culture, really 7 major places people live through in this earth and life. And it simply is business, arts and entertainment, religion, education, family, entertainment, media, and government. That's the 7 mountains that you and I are called to and vocationally giving graces to live through, to occupy, and to change this world. And I'd like to end with this scripture in Acts chapter 20, verse 32 of the Message Bible. It says, "Now I'm turning you over to a God, our marvelous God, whose precious word can make you into what he wants you to be and give you everything you need possible to live in this community of holy people." God's pointing out today. I brought this picture of my baseball team back in 2006. From my side here to the left, you can't hardly see him, but the third kid on the bottom, I'm going to mention his name because with the internet now, so he might get a hold of it, but the third kid on the bottom, the kid couldn't catch, he couldn't hit, he couldn't do nothing. But we played him, you know, according to rules, you got to keep kids in there playing, it's only fair. And he was very down on himself, and he'd been overlooked in so many ways, raised by his grandfather, didn't have really the opportunity, a lot of other kids did, my son's in there, different people. So I coached because nobody coached the team. It was the Pirates. We got to the championship game. The opposite coach is a football coach, and he's a good guy, but a little full of himself, and he pretty much thinks he's going to trounce us. We got to the last inning. It's this time's kid to bat. We have 2 outs, and we're tied. Last inning. And I told him, I said, "It's time for you to bat." He goes, "Aren't you going to replace me? I can't hit." I said, no, we're going to do better than hit. He said, "Why do you believe in me?" I said, "Because I know in you the ability is to win. But I'm telling you today." He said, "Well, other coaches never played me." I said, "I'm not going to overlook you because of things you can't do. I'm going to look at you on things you can do." So he said, "Well, coach, what am I going to do?" Now, when I say this kid couldn't hit, he'd miss a ball that far. I mean, he's like swatting flies. But one thing he could do, he couldn't hit, he couldn't feel, he couldn't judge distances, but one thing he could do is run like a deer on steroids. Man, that kid would start running, his head would go back, his eyes would get big. I mean, he's like a racehorse. The problem was he never got on base. He said, "Coach, I don't want to lose the game because you're batting me." I said, "Listen, honey, we win, we lose together as a team." He said, "What do you want me to do?" I said, "I want you to get in the batter's box and take a couple practice swings." I could, because I know the pitcher, I knew him well, another kid raised in our church. I said, "He's tired. And when he gets tired, he gets high and inside." And I said, "I want you to stand there. And I said, I want you not to even swing." He said, "When?" I said, "Never." Never. He said, "What's going to happen?" I said, "He's tired. And he's very, very, he's exhausted, and his balls are coming in higher and higher and inside." I said, "Every time a pitch comes in, I want you to take 2 practice swings, and I want you just to move your foot 1/2 inch to 1 inch. Don't let nobody see you doing it. Nobody. Only me and you know you're doing it." "Why?" I said, "I'll explain to you." And he said, "What am I going to do?" I said, "You're going to win this game." So, first pitch, again, high, inside. He scoots in, takes 2 practice swings. Second pitch, outside, another ball. He inches up. Only me and him knew what was going on. Third pitch was a strike, and then here he come back. And I said, it's going to be hiding inside. I told him how it would work because, you know, you've been around kids all your life. You know what they do. And I said, don't you stick your head over the plate because you and I are both going to get in trouble. But I said, I want you just to barely lean. I said, when that ball hits you, you either turn your back to the ball like I've taught you so you never get hit around your heart, or you just lower your head. And God is my witness. He lowered his head, just let that ball come in, knocked his helmet off. He looked at me and grinned like he'd won the Grand Canyon. He trotted down to first base. He trotted to first base. Again, he's been overlooked. He's been overshadowed. He's been undervalued. He's been ignored. He's been disrespected. And then up comes, if I remember correctly, my son. Now, my son's kind of a, like his dad. He's just a stud. But, you know, anyway. I told him, I said, Carson's going to hit it to the fence. It'll either be over the fence or to the fence. And I said, your job is to run like you're on fire. And I said, don't, when you get to second, don't you slow up. When you get to third, I don't care who's coaching third, you listen to me. You keep on trucking. Lay your head back. And Carson hit it, and it went to the fence, and that kid ran like he was nuts. He ran, I mean, just head back flying. He got to second, and he's looking, and the kid bobbled it at the fence, and he got to third, and here he come, and he slid. The ball was at the plate, and he scored the winning run. We won the championship, and he was a hero for the day. That kid right there. I saw him in McDonald's a year ago. He said, hey, coach, you remember that game 14 years ago? I want to tell you, that game can happen every day for believers in Christ. We're going to win. We're called to win. We're destined to win. We're anointed to win. How many say amen? You got to do what you're equipped to do. And my son wanted to, he wanted to be kind of the hero. I said, get out of the way. You're not the hero. The kid that ran, he said he can't hit the ball, but said he can outrun anybody. Hallelujah. Do what you can do. And what only you can do with God's grace on you. And I want to end with this prayer. If you'd bow your head with me. Father God, I thank you today that you've not neglected us or rejected us. You've not ignored us, but you've been overlooking us. You put gifts and talents and abilities on the inside of us. You put graces on the inside of us. And the anointing lies in us through you, Father God, and your Son Jesus. Father God, I lift up all these precious people here today. And this is going to be the last day. In any capacity, they're going to be overlooked. In their position, in their marriage, where they work. Because you are going to notify them today and release them that what I have for you is much more than you even understand. And you're going to be the lifter of our heads today. If you're here today and you've felt overlooked, disrespected, ignored, pushed aside. You felt like that kid. Why you want me to bat? I'm no good at anything. Or I sure can't hit the ball. I want to pray for you today before we leave. If you're here today and you feel like you've been undervalued, misused, unused, and you feel like it's time, spirit, soul, and body, to step out today and illuminated and released, and who God looses and lets go is just like Lazarus. He jumped out of those grave clothes and live for years. If that's you, I want you just to raise your hand. Say, Pastor, would you pray for me today? I don't want to be overlooked. There's hands going up everywhere. Would you all stand with me today? Everybody that raised their hands or everybody wants a prayer being loosed today, I just want you to come forward. I'm just going to have a brief prayer over you. Just come on down here. God says that he publicly paid a price for us, and we publicly pay a price for him. I want you to come on down here. If you felt overlooked, misunderstood, rejected, I don't care. The woman at the well had five husbands, living with the sixth. Jesus said, I'm loosing you today. You're going to be illuminated. Come on down. Anybody felt left behind, ignored, disrespected, not valued? Come on down. Come on down. Anybody here that needs Christ today, you want to have the assurance that Pastor Matt was talking about, being born again, on your way to heaven. Come on down here today. Don't leave this place. I did three funerals last week. One was a wife going to pick up a husband. She never made it. I'm telling you, sometimes things happen that God doesn't intend, but how many knows every day's a gift? Amen? Not trying to scare you. Just put insurance under your wheels. Anybody else? I'm tired of being overlooked. I'm tired of being rejected. I'm tired of being not notified and loved and respected. Amen? Anybody else? Real quick. Amen? Everybody reach your hands toward these people. Guys, it's going to stop today. Everybody look at me. I didn't fly through airports that people couldn't understand me for nothing. I came up here because God wanted to speak to you. It stops today. You look unto him. Tie unto him. And I'm telling you, from this day forward, he's going to illuminate things in you. They're going to bust open. It's going to be like lights going on. And I'm telling you, the people that used to come against you, that had words of power over you, you're not going to pay no attention to them anymore. Because you're going to listen to one word, and that's the word of your daddy who's overlooking you today. That you're called, you're anointed, you're appointed, you're equipped, you're engrafted, you're aligned to serve him. And all the past is just a testimony of what God wants to do. Y'all believe that today? Amen. Can you look ahead? It's sunny. Can you look ahead? There's opportunities. Can you look ahead? It's a brand new game. Let's all say this together with them and speak out loud, guys. Speak out loud from your heart. Say, thank you, Father, for a brand new day, a new beginning. My past is behind me. I'm starting over today. I am not going to be overlooked by anyone but you overlooking me from heaven. You've set me aside. You've called me. You've anointed me. And I'm stepping into my destiny. But let's all say this for the people who are calling Christ their Savior for the first time. Say, thank you, Lord, for saving me, for dying on my cross to pay my price that I couldn't pay. I ask you into my heart, into my life. I turn from my sin. And from this day forward, I will follow you. I'm saved, forgiven, on my way to heaven. Let's give the Lord a hand clap for all those people who made those decisions. Thank you, Lord.
If you've come forward and you're making a recommitment to follow Christ, I need you to just stay here. These folks here have Bibles, and they want to give them to you. You need a support team. Need somebody to encourage you and help you in this. Some of you I know here, some of you I don't. And so that's what those folks are here to do, to help you. So if you would stay when we dismiss, they're just going to give you a Bible and help connect you. How many of you sense, you know what, my life matters and what I do for Christ matters? Pastor Butcher, thank you. That was a word on time for the right people. So would you let Pastor Pat Butcher know he's loved here in Charleston? Powerful message. Powerful message. You know, I don't know, if you could just bear with me for a minute. How many old country folks are country folks? We're country folks. Even if you live in Bangor, nobody will there tell you, but you're still a country folk. You thought you weren't, but you are. And God's got something that he wants to do in the country towns of Maine. We don't talk about this enough, and I need to start, but how many of you would join me in prayer? We need to start affecting these little towns here in Maine. Mr. Drinkwater is here. Stand, Mr. Drinkwater. He's running for your House of Representatives. All of you folks east of here, a lot of those towns, you need to stop, see him, get yourself acquainted with him. We need men and women and I need you to hear what I'm going to tell you, as Pastor Butcher spoke. How many understand the only way we're going to affect the state is we got to get people involved in all areas of the state. And we need some godly people who know Christ to be serving in Augusta. And not only there, but in your hometown. You need to get on your town board, your school board. You need to get to know your neighbors. You need to bring Christ to the workplace. I just want us to pray. And you folks that are here, just bear with me just for a moment and pray and minister if you would. But how many of you just believe with me that God will help use us? It's the church, but we're it. How many pray, Lord, use us to reach hurting people in Maine like we've never reached them before? How many make that a prayer for you today? Would you lift a hand toward heaven as a sign to God? I want to be one of those people. You reach people I'll never talk to. Let us all do our part. Let's all just lift a hand. Heavenly Father, today, something is happening in the hearts of this church. Lord, you sent Pastor Butcher here for unsaved people to know they're right with you. But then you sent Pastor Butcher here to just plant something in our hearts that will not have no result. But God, something in our heart that says we're going to reach lost people like we've never reached lost people before. God, Maine deserves the gospel. Come on, do you folks believe it or not? I don't know. Lord, you're not willing that any should perish, and we're not willing that any should perish. We believe the people of Maine are worthy of the gospel. They have been overlooked by different groups, but not by Charleston, not by churches all across the state of Maine. Help us, God. Open doors no man can shut. Lord, give us opportunity and privilege. It's not about us. It's not about our name. But help us to keep the message in front of us. And your message will change and heal people. In Jesus' name. I believe he's heard our prayer. So let's give him thanks. If you would stay just for a moment.
Hey, guys, I know we went a little long, but down south we don't eat till late. But forgive me. But listen, I looked up some things about Maine. The motto means we lead, we're first. That's what Maine means. You got the farmer over here, and you got the sailor and the fisherman over here. You got the moose, and we lead, we direct, and we lead. The first place the sun hits the coast of the eastern coast of America is Maine every morning. So I say start at Maine, guys. We'll follow. You just keep doing and go forth and claim these little towns. Claim these little towns and places for Jesus and let Maine be a fire.
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Folks that are here, stay with us. We want to minister to you. God bless you. I love you. I'll see you tonight at 5 o'clock in the Epic Center for the volunteer celebration. Have a wonderful afternoon. Let somebody know that you know that they're here.